Al-Bayan Radio presents the following program, asking Allah that it serves as a benefit for all.
Assalamu alaikum, brothers and sisters. Welcome to Al-Bayan Live. I'm your host, Abu Abdurrahman, and I'm very pleased to be joined by my dear brother, Jamal Nassouh. Assalamu alaikum, Jamal.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
How are you today?
Alhamdulillah, yourself?
Is that your phone going off?
That was my phone that's going off.
I'm well. It's on silent. I'm well, alhamdulillah. On a tech show, your phone going off, what a nice start. Happens to all of us. Happens to the best of us, as they say. How was your day today, Jamal?
Alhamdulillah, very good. Nice, beautiful Sydney day.
Yes.
Nice and sunny.
Early spring, a few days early, you reckon?
No. It's welcomed.
Alhamdulillah. We'd like to welcome all our brothers and sisters listening to us on 107.9 FM in Sydney. We will be on 107.9 FM in Sydney until the 10th of September 2020, during this blessed month of Muharram. Now, my dear brothers and sisters, we have an interesting topic today, and that is your career in IT. As we know, this is Al-Bayan Live. It is a tech talk edition with our brother Jamal, who is our IT consultant here at Al-Bayan Radio. Helps us out a lot in the day-to-day running of the radio station, along with our brother Abdullah as well, who likes to remain anonymous. But it's a shout out. And Abdullah is the most, how can we say, most, probably Muhammad is more, most common name amongst Muslims. So no one's going to know him once we mention that.
No.
We'll leave it at that. We'll mention the second name. Shout out to him and Jazahullah Khair. May Allah reward him for his efforts. Amen. And brother Jamal and all the brothers and sisters who have made Al-Bayan Radio possible, after thanking Allah first and foremost. Okay, Jamal, before we get into this interesting topic, your career in IT, how did you, what are the steps or what's your pathway to get to where you are now in IT? How did you start? Where did you travel to?
Alhamdulillah.
Ups and downs as we all go through.
Alhamdulillah, IT is something that I just got into naturally. As in, I found that, alhamdulillah, very easy to get into IT. My father was in electronics, and as the world changed from, you know, fixing your TV, taking it to the TV repair shop, to changing your TV, replacing it, because it was probably easier or cheaper to change than it was to fix. My father changed into the world of technology and the world of IT, and I was started doing work experience, and, you know, day after day, I picked up some skills, and alhamdulillah,
blossomed.
That was it. It was all over from there. Alhamdulillah.
Yeah, alhamdulillah. How many years have you been in the field now?
Since leaving school in 98. About 20 something years, I think, close to. I'm not a good counter. It's probably 21 years.
22 years.
So, yani, I started off in IT consultancy, and I think that's probably the best position to start off with in IT if you don't really know what you want to do or where your strengths are and where your skills are. That gives you a huge array of technology that you can play with. And I was there for about 7 years, 7 to 8 years, you know, in and around what my father was doing and some other companies that he worked for. I sort of got in and did some weekend work and, you know, eventually started, went out and branched out on my own. Then I started going into bigger companies, and one thing led to another, and I found myself in a management role. I actually liked that more than IT, and the reason is that it's business process and, you know, what drives businesses and trying to put efficiencies in business. You know, if somebody you know, processes their products in a certain way, implementing technology to start saving some money, a lot of fun things, you know. So for warehouse management, putting in technologies that helps them better control their stock and manage their stock. If it's a food distributor or, you know, something, implementing technology to help them save time and money that way.
Before we continue, Brother Jamal, I forgot to mention we are live on Facebook and our various Facebook pages there, especially at Bayan Radio. If you have any comments or feedback or questions for Brother Jamal, especially if you're interested in this field of IT, which is a quite expansive field to say the least, drop us a question there. Leave us a question there or a comment there on our Facebook page, and inshallah, I'll be checking our feed throughout the program. And don't forget to share with those who may be interested in this field. Now, Brother Jamal, where do we start? your career in IT? Where do we start?
It's difficult. So if you want to get into IT, there's some brothers that have approached me and saying to me, my son wants to get into IT. What do you recommend?
Firstly, Jamal, before you continue in what you recommend, what is IT? Like, I know it may be for some people I know what IT is. Why are you asking that question? But for some who may not know, what is IT?
IT is anything. It's technology. It's information technology. So traditionally, it's technology that information passes through, although now it's kind of different. It's changed. Information back in the day, you used to have librarians and people that would, do special courses just to be a librarian. In fact, a librarian was a very sought-after role. Now librarians are data people and data scientists and data engineers that are within the information technology umbrella or under the information technology umbrella. So IT is information technology. So it depends. You can have a watch that's that wouldn't be an IT person's role to set up, but as soon as it gets connected to the network or an internet or it gets connected to your phone, and then it could become a part of the sort of whole IT realm. In fact, technology is going down that route. Wearables are the biggest sort of emerging market within IT, and it's a massive market. There are some things that I could tell you that would amaze you from what I've been through and some of the experiences that I've had through in the places that I've worked.
Now you were saying before I mentioned that point regarding a brother was seeking advice from you for his son.
So brothers asked me about their kids, what should they do? And it's I guess that's the hardest, probably one of the hardest questions. And my answer is always what they like. IT, the issue with IT is that we're training our kids today for jobs that we don't know what will happen, what jobs there'll be in the future.
It's changing so quickly, isn't it?
That's right. Like 5 years ago, 5 and 10 years ago, there were jobs that sort of didn't exist today. Things like data marketing, digital marketing specialists. Who was it, 10 years ago growing up, 5 years ago, you'd say, my son wants to be a digital marketer. What's a digital marketer? Before Facebook in what, 6 years, 5 years, 7 years, whatever it is Facebook's been around for. Social media manager, there's, believe it or not, there's a listening officer, chief listening officer. So this is, if you call the CLO, they monitor social media, social media sites and listen for social media feeds or topics, hashtags and stuff like that. SEO, search engine optimization. Before Google, who would be trained up to be a search engine optimizer? Today, that's a really highly sought after role. If you're a good social, SEO agent or an SEO technician, you can charge almost whatever you want. This is people marketing their business and trying to get the edge over others. App designers and the iOS, the App Store and the Google Play Store are only 6 and 7 years old. So 10 years ago, app designers, really, what were you doing apps for? It was just developers. You don't really have people that specifically design apps. And if you could imagine back when we grew up, Sheikh Nidal, we had computers and people used to write computer programs and people wanted computer programs. Now people want apps. Computer programs are usually just an offshoot of an app.
They have all the online and storage in the cloud. I remember the floppy disk.
That's right. The floppy disk, the one that used to make those noises. I'm not going to attempt to make
online.
And
it would carry, 2 megabytes of
storage?
Yeah, that's
right. 2.22 or 2.5 megabytes.
Those were the days.
They were. I remember me and my father at a job. This was years and years ago. Probably about 10, 15 years ago, maybe even more. Just looking at this guy's hard drive. It was a doctor. He had 100 megabytes of hard disk space.
That was huge.
I still remember we were saying, how would you ever use 100 megabytes? How could it be done?
Yeah.
And don't forget, back in that day, it was like 100 kilobit files for pictures. And really, you didn't have that higher intensity video, and it was different days. Other side, and you briefly mentioned cloud. Everything's on the cloud now.
And what is that?
So the cloud is in the day, back in the day, even now, we used to have servers internally. So if we wanted to keep files, a lot of files, you'd have to have a server with hard drive space, and you need to make sure that those hard drives were redundant. You know, there was redundancy in place. So if one failed, the other one would take over. So now what happens is companies say, look, I'm going to put a whole lot of hard drive space in a data center, in a special building that's got a lot of computers in it. And I'm going to sell off those that disk space to customers. So that's what you would use for iCloud, and that's what we would use for OneDrive and
Dropbox
and all that. So that's all they've done. And so what they do with that, and the reason why it's more cost effective for them, is there's two types of disks. There's expensive disks and there's cheap disks. And for of our higher end processing, so for our databases and stuff, you'd have a faster a disk array. And for our slower sort of just needed access to files kind of thing, and we don't need a lot of processing like videos and photos and documents, it'd be on our slower and cheaper storage. So this is what these people do. They utilize our need. So for instance, if I had a server here, I've got 10 gigs of data, I've got 100 gigs that I've got free. Why do I need to have 100 gigs free? What these people do is they say, okay, look, Jamal's got 100 gigs, Sheikh Nidal's got 80 gig, this person's got 30 gig. All that space that's left over on their 100 or 200 gig drive is a waste. So what they do is they say, that's how they save their money. They give us just what we need, and it collectively as a community, so to speak, there's a saving on data space, and that's where we start to get our money back and whatnot. So rather than paying for that 200 gig, you're paying for the whatever you're using, so to speak.
Interesting.
But cloud is coming. Cloud is actually a big topic. I won't go too much into it, but cloud is these days you can have your whole operation, so your whole company running off in the cloud.
You can access it anywhere then?
Access it from anywhere, but also you don't need computers, expensive computers, $2,000 and $3,000 computers. You actually just need a really cheap either tablet, or you can get things called dumb terminals or thin terminals, which are pretty much just a screen, a monitor, a keyboard, and something to plug a network cable in or a wireless port. And that's really good because it means your downtime is minimal and you can shape your organization and scale your organization up and down as you please without having to buy a new PC, PC or sell a PC. You know, if you have a job that's seasonal, that's probably what you would do. But also really heavy intensive jobs on, for systems. So sometimes, you've got accountants would know this. They've got a spreadsheet that just runs forever and ever. At a place that I work once, we got them a server that would run those intense jobs, and because they only needed it for about 2 weeks, 1 week, it was way cheaper than buying a $20,000 server. So they're the benefits. So we can have our career in terms of a cloud. We can go into the cloud, so a cloud support specialist or a cloud services specialist. In terms of data, then you've also got data, which is data analyst, or big data analyst. So these jobs didn't exist. How do you manage your data? We were talking before about fast and slow disks, and we analyze where data is and how data is accessed and how quick data takes to access. So another one is a data miner, a market research data miner. And understanding. So what these guys do is try to understand markets, try to download data, trying to download big data so that it can be analyzed for companies, whether it's sales data or traffic that's going to a certain website or certain website traffic. So then later it can be used for people's benefits.
Interesting.
Yeah. So it's vast. IT is vast. I guess so what does a person like to do when somebody comes and asks me? That's the first question. What do you like to do?
What he likes.
Do you like security? Security is another thing. It's massive these days. In fact, the Australian government set up a department just to import security specialists from overseas. That's how big it's been.
They haven't got enough to
there's not enough to there's not enough here? No, there's not enough to fill demand here in Australia. So they're bringing a lot of people in from overseas. And in fact, the biggest topics this year, other than this virus, is the hacking attempts from China, the hacking attempts from other countries that are coming to get our data and whatnot. So there's a cyber war going on, as they say.
Interesting.
But yeah, security is a big field.
Interesting. Okay, so we've identified what they like. What's next?
So naturally, get into in terms of what you like. So if they're straight out of high school.
Should we obviously this has to be identified way before year 12 or year 11 even. What do you think?
I don't think so. So the reason I don't think so is that we don't know what we're training up for. Yes, we might want to be in security, but we don't know where technology will go. At the moment, there's a huge demand. There's this whole Internet of Things that's happening. So garbage bins in certain places you'll see that have lights on them. What happens is if they fill up over a certain point, a light will turn from green to red or red to green. I think it's green to red. But what that does is it alerts via a SIM card or something that it would have. It alerts the garbage disposal companies to, you know, this bin needs cleaning or needs emptying. And so what happens is they save obviously on petrol. In fact, funny story I learned a while ago, I think it was DHL. In the US, we're doing some
courier sort of company,
a courier company, a trucking company. We're doing an analysis on how to save petrol. And for some reason, because I think the way that the roads were, that they drive on the other side of the road overseas, it was the more left turns the truck did, the more petrol they saved. It was so much petrol that they actually saved that they tried to build in, or they built into the application that to try to route as many left turns as possible so that they can save petrol. This is a data miner. This is a person that gets data, or a data scientist, and analyzes his data and then presents it to the people.
Save the company a lot of money that way.
Millions of dollars in terms of petrol. Yeah, there's a lot of things. There's, in terms of, these are the kind of things that people might like.
It's ever changing. So as long as they have a general interest, it doesn't matter.
That's right. That's very right. As long as they've got it. Like for me, that's what interests me. Finding solutions for people that otherwise wouldn't be there. There's a lot of times that I've come across issues. So I worked for a company that distribute electrical goods. Doing research, we had to do research for a warehouse management process, I guess, not just system, but system and process. So we looked into these low energy Bluetooth tabs that go on each box. And so what happens is you've got probes all around the warehouse, and you've got probes on the truck. And so you know where each item is at every step of the journey, from manufacturing all the way through to sales. They're the kind of things that interest me. But some people might like security. Some people might like the idea of being in control, or the idea of hacking, ethical hacking, they call it. So they do testing, penetration testing, to try to get into the systems, different systems. And so they get to use these skills quite often. And we've talked about security before. These skills are really interesting.
Is security the biggest field, you think?
At the moment, security is probably the highest in demand field, and there's no shortage of jobs in security. Every time I jump online, there's always security engineers wanted, or people that have some security background, that need security background.
Well, if you look at it this way, they're pretty much all these experts are saying everything is heading to being, or using technology, even the use of money is pretty much going to be eliminated soon. Or some are saying, Allahu A'lam, ATMs, for example.
Yeah.
They want to get rid of them, or they're lessening
ATMs
them.
Are getting less and less. There's less ATMs, and a cashless society, quote unquote, is what we're actually working for. So this is what we're working for. That we're working toward a cash
society. Look, for example, online banking was non-existent how many years ago. Now
that's right.
It's massive.
It was, when we had online banking, it was like, wow, I could see what's in my account straight away. I didn't have to carry around a passbook. remember the passbook, or remember how much you had in your account. Yeah. It's different. Just on security, I wanted to just share a really interesting story. I worked for a company. I'm not going to say who. I'm not going to say what. They had a massive project, like millions of dollars, like multi-million dollar project. It was with a company overseas, And they were tendering for a big project, an infrastructure project within Australia. The issue was that these company that they were working with, they'd been beaten by the Chinese or by Chinese companies by a very small amount on a number of jobs in a row prior to this. So they suspected that their systems had been compromised, and somebody had been in their systems and getting the data and then presenting the numbers to make it, you know, to make it easy for them to win the tender. So what we did in terms of, you know, in terms of trying to keep these guys at bay is that we put fake numbers, or they put fake numbers on the system, the current systems, and then they generated the costs in three different countries and flew them in. And someone was describing that somebody was going to come in with like one of those suitcases strapped to their hand, but they made the numbers. So rather than, you know, the supplier of raw goods get the cost, and the supplier of personnel get the cost, and, you know, the person that's got the electronic stuff get the cost, and then send it via email and put all the pricing together, everything was generated in separate countries and then flown into Australia to a safe house. You can hire safe houses in North Sydney.
That's interesting.
It is. And there was one person there with a laptop that had to get the numbers and put them all. They ended up winning it. They ended up winning this contract.
So it was worth it.
It was worth it. So, you know, I guess that just goes to show how much faith that even security people have in systems, and how much, you know, things need to be, taken into, you know, I guess the things need to be understood in from a security standpoint.
Now, a young brother or sister is interested in the IT field, they finished the HSC, they got quite a good mark. Do we advise them to enter uni, or they can get into a certain field without uni? What's the go here?
So I didn't go to uni, but I believe that sort of put me back at least 10 years.
10 years?
At least 10 years. Wow. I Allahu Alam, I believe that if I did uni and I had the patience, or I guess not necessarily had the patience, if I was driven or had the drive to go to uni, then I would probably be 10 years further. And the reason for that is that you learn concepts and theories in uni. There's a big debate where the practicality, and people will say, you know, but uni's not practical, and that's true. But the theories that you learn, you take into your business life forever. I'm still learning things now that I should have learned, or people learnt in uni when they first started.
But your time was quite different. Like, you finished school in 1998, there was pretty much no online courses back then.
No.
Now the whole world is online, and unis are all heading towards being online. Is that right?
Yeah. So it's yes and no. So there were courses, though. There were still short courses. So there weren't online courses or as many online courses. And in fact, the online courses were actually discs, CDs used to get, and they used to have videos on them. But there was a company called Novell, for instance, and they used to handle security. And they had it was a security company. So you can be a Novell Networks engineer, and you could be a Microsoft Systems engineer, and Microsoft would have their own courses. So you could come straight out of school, you could do this engineering course, and you can become a Microsoft engineer. The issue is that with that is that that's all you are. That's all you do. If you build your foundation with uni, yes, all right, TAFE diploma is okay. But really, and honestly, that the basics that you learn in uni, you're not going to get anywhere, and you're not going to get on these courses. Things like report writing, things like doing assessments and reviews, and you know, how to communicate within the corporate world, how to communicate within the world or within business. These are things that you know. For me, for instance, for now, if I apply for a job overseas, unless I finish a uni course, I'm not going to get it. There are other people that are more appealing on paper than I would be. Under the hood, as they say, I've got probably more experience than most of them. But I'm not going to be able to show that if I don't have that bachelor or master or, you know, Allahu Alam, yani, of course, Allah's control of everything. This is my experience. A lot of people would have different ideas, and in fact, wallahi, I was of the opinion that you didn't need to do uni, but now and in hindsight, And hindsight is always the best sight. If I did uni, I would have it would have been a lot easier for me. Alhamdulillah.
So enroll in a certain course that you like, that, you know, ask some brothers, do istikhara, ask some brothers in the field like Jamal, and go for it.
No, that's right. And look, just do any. So don't take this as a, you know, oh no, if I don't do uni, I can't get into IT. If you like something, start doing short courses. If you, I guess what I'm saying is, you want to build a base, you want to build a platform, you need to have formal qualifications. You either do a whole lot of formal qualifications that'll cost you a fortune, which will be Microsoft, then you can do Cisco for security, and you can do Citrix, and you can do, there's so many courses you can do, it's not funny. Or what you do is you build your foundation properly, you build it from the bottom, you build it from the start, and you know, you do a uni course, you can start off with a diploma, but get your qualifications. And if you build your qualifications, you then can dictate, of course, after Allah allowing us, you then can dictate which way your career goes. For me, for instance, my career started off in IT hardware, and then it went into infrastructure or systems, Microsoft systems and putting systems together. Then it went into sort of a little bit of networking, some scripting, and I sort of went all over the place before I landed in management. And in fact, it was almost a fluke. It was a fluke. Alhamdulillah, it was subhanAllah that I landed. I was at a company, and I there was some issues that had to be resolved. My boss was in the room, and his boss was in the room, and I presented an idea that, you know, I guess from there, people started coming to me and asking me for these kind of business related questions. You know, how do we do this in the system if these are our limitations? You know, what do we do? You know, for instance, there's a company that wants to create a credit note for each item they get. So if I sell you something, I want to give you a credit on each item because you've ordered one. If you order two, I'll give you more. And if you order three, I'll give you more. But that's not a credit. That's like the, and they process that in like a rebate. But if you're going to put it on each invoice, that's not called a rebate. That's called a discount. So then you've got to rejig the system to fit the business, saying, okay, the business calls it this. Is it this? And it's exciting. It's probably boring for a whole lot of people. Yes. For me, it's very exciting.
Alhamdulillah. So
you have to like
it. By Allah's decree, you ended up in management.
Alhamdulillah.
Then you went to where after that? Still in management?
Still in management. I really like the field. And like I said, what I like, if you look at the core, I like helping. I like providing solutions.
So with your journey, it was more of a, you know, here and there, zigzag, yeah. While uni most likely will get you more something more dedicated dedicated.
That's right. I would have discovered what I liked more in uni. I think I would have probably discovered that I like business process, and you know, I like that having a broad array of technologies I can play with, and that's really what it is. I don't like staying in, you know, just doing networking. I don't like just doing security. I like doing everything. And that's what my role allows me to do. It allows me to do a little bit of security, do a little bit of development, you know, and sometimes I surprise myself, but a lot of times I break things. And that's, you know, that's why you've got the people around you to, you know, that are good at what they do.
Now, I'm a bit out of touch here. Do you need quite a high mark to get into university courses in the IT field, the many fields there are, or there's, you know?
Yes. No, you don't. And in fact, in terms of uni, there's always... we always think that we need to get some sort of a mark to get to uni. You could always take a different pathway, so do something else for a semester or year or whatever, starting something else and then head back in the way that you want to go. If you don't have the marks for uni, or you don't want to go to uni, or you didn't want to go to uni when you left school, you can do some short courses until you qualify as a mature age student and then go to uni. So there's a lot of ways to do that. Look, I guess the goal is to build your foundation. If you weren't going to go to uni, Sheikh Nidal, I would say definitely doing a course in whatever you like. So if you like security, do a security course. There's a company by the name of CompTIA that do a range of courses, whether it's programming, security, hardware, software. These are you know, you've got a broad range of skills that you can learn there, or you can go technology specific. So if you want to go Microsoft, you can do a range of Microsoft courses. Cisco for some networking, and you know, there are other companies in networking, other Cisco. You can do some HP networking courses. There's Juniper in terms of firewalls. But I guess what I'm saying is that it's not necessary that you do uni. It's the best that you do in terms of building your foundation, but not definitely a must.
Brother Ibrahim, regular contributor to the program, he leaves you a comment. May Allah bless you, Jamal. Keep up the good insight with the technology field.
Allah barik fik, Brother Ibrahim. May Allah bless you and increase for you.
Yeah, Brother Ibrahim, if you got an IT question, send it through. I know you like your computers. Or you think you do. Yeah, Allahu alam. If you did, he's not very IT, is he?
He's not very IT. He's the best on the barbecue.
He's good on the barbecue. He's good on the barbecue. Good on his phone.
He's good on his phone. He's good in everything. He's like a Swiss Army knife.
If you do have any questions, my dear brothers and sisters, for Brother Jamal regarding the tech field or the IT field, especially if you have children who are interested in a career in this, in later, I'll send it through on our Facebook page, Al Bayan Radio. We are currently streaming live there. Alhamdulillah. Okay, now I'm going to hit you up, Jamal. I'm going to be straight out here. I like IT. I'm just about to finish. I've finished year 12. What are your top recommendations regarding demand, a good career, something that can benefit the Muslim Ummah? What would you recommend from your experience? This may change from specialist to specialist or brother to brother, but what's...
I would say if you like something and you definitely like something within IT, like security, then start doing some security courses until you can, you know, do a university course or, you know, do a diploma or something. If you like design or development, app design or app development, start doing it. Do it now. Like, you don't have to wait. You can go online and you can start learning straight away. There are kids that are doing coding. There's coding coding camp.
What's coding? Can you just briefly? Like,
no. A computer does obviously what it's commanded to, an application commands a computer to do certain things. So your Microsoft application, when you hit the Wi-Fi, you know, to connect to Wi-Fi, it'll say, activate this hardware device and then search for the hardware Wi-Fi and connect to it. And so there's some scripting there's some code that tells the computer what to do. And that's what coding is. So if I'm creating an application, saying, okay, when this button or this section is pressed, then perform this task, which could be open up a new page or turn the torch on or the light on the back of the phone. These are all instructions that the coders write.
Interesting. So now back to that question I asked you. What would you recommend?
I would recommend if you know what you're going to do, do exactly what you're going to do, because I believe that you succeed in what you're good at, what you love, and if you like doing something and if something interests you, pursue it. If you're not really sure, you know technology interests you, keep your options open and try to be, like as they say, a jack of all trades and get as much experience in a lot of different fields as possible.
Try to master? What do you think?
Yeah, so what I did straight out of school is a course by CompTIA called A+. And A+ gives you like a sort of a broad... range of experience. It's good for the person just coming out of school and wanting this, you know, wanting to get a foundation or start building their foundation in IT. And this is obviously for the person that's not starting and going straight to uni to a computer science degree or something of that nature.
Interesting. Okay, now you've chosen your field. Should you dedicate yourself completely to it or try to vary?
That depends. If you like time me, or? If you like me and you get bored real easy, do a number of things. If you like security today and then you think, oh, you know what, I've hit this question, I've done some research and actually I like development, software development or coding, then do that. Then go and do a little bit of that. It's easy within IT to do that. And that's what I love about what I do. It's absolutely what I love. You know, today I could be speaking, you know, to somebody that's a coder and they're saying, you know, I can't do A, B, C, and D. And they say, well, okay, let's have a look at it. And then you do some research and you say, all right, we'll try this. and that may or may not work. But then, you know, somebody else would come up to you and say, look, I've got a problem with this network. I can't get this device to connect to this device. And you know, you can help them with that. And that's exactly what we're talking about now. And that's, you know, if you you keep your options open, you do something, you like it, you know, you might like something else. So just dabble with all the different fields. There are some that you might like more than others.
Interesting.
It is really interesting. Look, I tell you, I think if you're interested in technology and you like it, you'll go a long way.
Alhamdulillah. Now, while I'm smiling, is this next question I'm going to pose to you, and this is something you're very interested in. From the perspective of da'wah, you know, alhamdulillah, Allah has allowed us to be involved in da'wah, to spread Islam, to show people Islam, the beauty of Islam. From your opinion, you know, you've been around, involved in the da'wah, especially to do with the IT field, helping out where you can. May Allah reward you with generously in this world and the next. What do you think is a field we need and we should direct our youth to try to put some effort into learning it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to spread the da'wah, to spread la ilaha illallah, to spread Islam, to show Islam to more people in the best light?
Wallahi, in every field.
Every field.
Wallahi, if I look at these jobs that I mentioned, you know,
especially
you
IT.
You look at it's in IT, like digital marketer, IT, yeah. Digital marketing, social media manager, yani, wallahi, you know, chief listening officer, if you want to be, you know, look at these, the social media streams and work out what, you know, what's coming in and you know, blog for the sake of Allah, you know, being a blogger, search engine optimization, you can optimize, yani, Allahu alam, you imagine the reward you can get if you optimize a da'wah page to become first over other pages, you know, a page that preaches at the right things and over one that doesn't. And Allahu alam, if Allah allows that for you.
Yeah, because everyone is preaching online, like everything is calling you.
That's right.
It doesn't stop.
Alhamdulillah.
So
Allah.
We should use this to call to Islam and show Islam.
That's right, definitely. And all we are caretakers. We're caretakers. And this is something that every Muslim, I believe, should remember. It doesn't matter who you are. You're a caretaker of this deen.
Wallahi, as well, you want to invest your time and effort into something that is going to leave traces so your reward can keep going after you die. And really, that's the wise investor. And I believe, Allahu A'lam, that one of the best fields is IT, is online da'wah, is the various platforms that we can use for good.
That's right.
You know, and na'am, it probably is more for evil than good, but we should be, you know, beacons of light. We should use these fields. And that's why I advise, this is my advice, probably the only advice I'm going to give, because as you know, Brother Jamal, I have no idea about IT except probably turning on the computer and logging onto the email.
I've been very impressed with your skills.
I'm not the best. Anyway, what I do advise our young, and wallahi, they're going to take over this da'wah and continue the da'wah bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. And this deen was spread by the youth in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and even afterwards and up until now, is have a sincere intention that you are doing this field to service the Muslims particularly and humanity in general, to call them to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
That's right.
And wallahi, you'll be rewarded bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. And this is very, very important that when you choose this field, there's nothing wrong with benefiting from it from a dunya perspective, like earning money, for example. But make your intention purely and firstly for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That, you know what, I'm going to work in this field, it's a halal field, but I want to put some time in to spreading Islam, to teaching people the deen, to showing people Islam. No, it's not only about them becoming Muslim, it's for you to show the people Islam.
Sheikh Nidal, I want to mention something that I do. I have a lot of hobbies.
I think I know that.
But what I try to do is relate it back to da'wah. So Allah barak fi Sheikh Jalal.
Jalal Shami.
Every time I have a new hobby, I run it past him. There are some hobbies that the Mashayikh have said stay away from or don't do, but others, you know. So for instance, I've been scuba diving for a long time. And yani, I guess what I'm trying to say is, you know, trying to use that and taking people out to teach them about the surf, teach them about the water, teach them about animals. Just whatever skills you have now, don't wait until you learn something. Whatever time you have, whatever skills you have, donate it. And try to use whatever you have and try to think of it differently. You know, you buy a drone, for instance. Tell you, what can you use the drone for? You know, you have a surfboard, or you have, you know, you learn how to surf, or you know how to skateboard, or you know how to do whatever you know how to do. You know, try to, you know, think of who can I benefit, or how can we benefit.
Honestly, how much people do you think in the Canterbury Bankstown area can surf?
Yeah, I've tried to surf. It didn't work. I've tried for a very long time.
I'm not even going to bother. I quit at the bodyboard. Bodyboarding? Was it bodyboarding?
Boogieboard. Yeah,
boogieboarding?
Bodyboarding.
Is it bodyboarding or boogieboarding?
It's bodyboarding.
Bodyboarding.
I used to...
I tried it, but
I tried surfing when I was younger. And me and a friend went down to Cronulla Beach back in the day. Good old Cronulla. And I'm holding the surfboard and these big waves. And my friend was sitting on the beach because the waves were just too big. Apparently some surfers walked past and he's going, "Is that your mate?" And they said, "Yeah." And he goes, he's mad. What's he doing out in the surf?" My surfing career, alhamdulillah, ended really abruptly.
alhamdulillah. Yeah. So use whatever you can, even if you have a certain hobby in the way and path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Jamal, what else do you have for us in this topic, your career in IT? I know it's huge and we're not claiming that we're going to cover it in 45 minutes.
No.
But we just wanted to give the brothers some advice from the experience that Brother Jamal has.
So in terms of the, I'm going to give you the top five in demand roles or the top five in demand jobs today. So this is as of February 2020.
Top five in IT in general, or?
That's right. In IT or in technology, in IT in general. Product owner or product manager. So a product owner or product manager could be, if you work within a company and they've got an application, you would be the product owner or product manager of that application, meaning that you would be the go-to person for any updates, any issues, sort of manage that technology within the business. User experience designer. So we make applications, but, you know, there's programmers that make applications. But a user experience designer would map out how the experience would be, or how the flow of the application should look. You know, if you click on this button, it should go to this page, but how does a transition happen? How do we keep people interested? How do we keep people on that journey? Email and CRM manager, so customer relationship manager, a system manager, sorry. So people to keep track of their customers would have a business, an application that would manage all their customers and whatnot, and information about their customers. And, you know, there's a person that would manage that application. Marketing automation manager. Now, this is one of the jobs that weren't around 5 years ago.
Marketing automation.
Marketing automation. So this is about triggers. So when this happens, then do this. So if there's a lot of people online, you know, we're talking about streams and, you know, when people post on social media, there's applications that pick up those posts. When, you know, according to keywords, so chocolate or I love chocolate or where is this chocolate, if something is mentioned like that, then there'd be an automation to put out a certain type of ad or an ad, you know, of some sort.
That happens every day.
Yeah. And then there's another one called digital performance manager or specialist. So a person that would look at your digital marketing or digital profile or online profile and look at how that's performing online and what we can do, tweaks that we can do to fix it. They're the top five jobs. None of them I could have told you before looking it up. Yanni, I know what the roles are, but I can't believe that this is the top five in demand jobs.
That's interesting. Yeah.
Which goes back to my point. What are we training for? build your base, get your base. If you know you want to get into security, then get into security. Because if you love it, you're going to excel, inshallah, in it. But if you don't really know what you want to do and you like technology, you want to be in IT, start off with a basic course. If you don't want to go to uni or you can't go to uni, I know a lot of our brothers don't want to go to uni, and a lot of brothers in IT say that you don't need to go to uni. They're probably right in some degree, but in actual fact, you're going to put yourself well ahead of others if you do. If you're not going to go to uni, then start doing some short courses now.
Say someone is in year 11 or 12 or even year 10,
yeah.
Where can you go for some courses, safe courses online and And is there some online?
There are. There's some TAFE courses online. So you can start. So in terms of security, you just search security courses. There's a company of, I'll just get the name.
Because this is a question we get asked quite a bit. You know, where can we safely learn online? Where kids, especially young kids, can, you know, access information safely.
So there's a you know, in terms of security, there's a website called offensivesecurity.com. These are security specialists, or they train you on Linux, which is a platform that people use for security testing and the security people
work. Isn't Linux an operating system?
Linux is an operating system. It's
still used, or just system.
Definitely Mac OS is built on Linux.
I say Mac uses
Linux backbone. It's got a different interface, but under the hood, so to speak, is Linux.
Or Microsoft uses Windows. Is that right?
Microsoft is Windows, and they have their own. Yes. Overall, traditionally, Linux is a more secure and more robust system. However, these days Microsoft is sort of not very far off.
Are they the leader still, Microsoft?
Microsoft is still the leader. The in the past, their Office 365 applications, so Microsoft Word, Excel, and you know, PowerPoint. OneDrive and SharePoint, everything sort of being bundled into a $17.95 a month subscription in the cloud is seeing them make huge amount of profits and take a lot of market share. Mm. Apple Macs are pretty good, but you know, if you're a developer or if you're a programmer or you're like graphics, you want to do graphics design or something like that, generally you'd go for the Macintosh Apple operating system. But these days, also Microsoft Windows also works, but it's all about preference.
Okay, any other advice, Brother Jaman?
Jazakallah khair. Just do what you can. If you have any questions, please feel free to shout out to the website, you know, afterwards. Just send a private message or general message, and Sheikh Nidal will get it to me. And please, yes. If there's anybody that has some skills and wants to use them and put them to good use, please also message the Al Bayan Facebook page, and we will inshallah connect you with a project or an effort that's happening currently.
Excellent. That's a very good point, Brother Jamal. Jazakallah khair, okay. Firstly. And whoever would like to contribute some of their time or their skills in the field of Dawah, send us a message, and Brother Jamal will inshallah lead you in the right direction. So Al Bayan Radio there, for those watching online, you can send us an inbox there, and inshallah we will direct you in the right direction, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. And obviously, we advise all the brothers and sisters to be involved in Dawah, to be involved in your local Islamic center in the path of Allah. And wallahi, as many have said, many of our mashayikh have said, many of our experienced campaigners in the Dawah have said, they have said to us, make sure you keep your children active and get them involved in Dawah. It's one of the best ways, by the will and permission of Allah, of keeping them steadfast on the religion, by giving them responsibility that they can handle, obviously, in servicing this great religion in the path of Dawah, calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, teaching and educating, maintaining the houses of Allah, maintaining the Islamic projects that are out there. Ask Allah to reward Brother Jamal generously in this world and the next. May Allah bless him and his family. And I thank you for your contribution tonight, Brother Jamal. Jazakallah khair. Yeah. I'd like to thank all our brothers and sisters who watched online or listened to 107.9 FM in Sydney. We will, inshallah, be on 107.9 FM in Sydney until the 10th of September. So please spread the word, and inshallah you'll be rewarded bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. So please spread the word regarding this, and don't forget to download our apps, and you can catch up on all our programming on our YouTube page, Al Bayan Media, and also on our podcast channels, which can be found on SoundCloud, Podbean, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts. And don't forget, if you haven't already, to download our app, where you can listen to Al Bayan Radio anywhere in the world on the Apple App Store and the Google Play Store. Barakallahu feekum. And until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
This program was presented by Al Bayan Radio, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah.